Thank you so much, my brother, for, let me see, maybe my switch in the back is on. All right, thank you. Sorry, my assistant forgot to check me. I had to blame him. Like when I lose something at home, I said to my wife, where do you put it? Man, get a hint, man, get a hint. Let me see. I want to say a few things before the sermon. October 4 in the evening is at what they call a luau, I think it is. A big pig alive will be there, and there will be something special, a luau on the feast. So there will be a sermon in the morning that begins Nehemiah. As every time you got the beginning of the year, read Nehemiah 1. It's one of the greatest things. I will start a series of 13 sermons on Nehemiah. And then in the evening, Pastor Thompson is going to address the congregation on a new year, 27 years of ministry here in Morton Hill. And after that, we're going to have a luau outside. It will be a nice Hawaiian evening for the whole church. I want you to do that. And I want to welcome the Doolittle family here. Marlene Doolittle was the choir director for years here and passed the baton to Darlene as they moved to Idaho. And I appreciate you and your family always. And so these little children, they came here. Some of them, I saw them born here in our church. How wonderful it is. I don't like that Jimmy is taller than me, but that's all right. Okay. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 34. And last Sunday, you have, by the way, the church insert with the inside. There is an outline of the sermon that you can follow. Between parentheses and that outline is the reference page number. In case you use a Bible that is provided for you in the pew, there is a page number that you can follow. Let me say a few things before we go into the heart of the sermon. I start two sermons on Ezekiel, and they're very demanding, and so I need a vacation. So I'll be in vacation, God's willing, the next two Sundays, as always I do, the last two Sundays of September in vacation, and be back just in time for the wonderful celebration, God's willing. So I took the liberty to take Ezekiel two sermons. Just briefly, I want to remind you about that name, Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest and also was a prophet. And he served the Lord during the darkest days of Judah's history, the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. The Jews were carried on to Babylon before the final assault on Jerusalem. Ezekiel brings the prophecies, and he speaks always in parables, in object lessons, and in symbols to dramatize God's message to his exiled people there in Babylon. Now, Jeremiah and Ezekiel are at the same time. Jeremiah right there in Jerusalem and Ezekiel in Babylon. But I tell you something, Jeremiah talks about judgment and ugliness. Ezekiel talks about now if you turn to God, things will be better and things will be rebuilt. And so Ezekiel is a prophet of encouragement. Jeremiah is a prophet of judgment. And we need both. We need to know the seriousness of disobeying God. And we need to know that God is not dead. He raises up from whatever situation we are. Ezekiel's name, Hezekiel, means God is strengthening you, or the strength of God in my life. And so last Sunday, we look in the chapter 37, where God gave dry bones as a picture of how strong God is going to be and going to raise Israel from whatever situation Israel is. And then today, I go to chapter 34, where God is going to give us the clue of why a nation go bankruptcy in everything. Why a nation lose their stability, their position in life, their leadership among the nations of the world. He's going to give us the clue of what's wrong when a nation goes in the wrong path. What is it? We're trying to blame the economy. We're trying to blame people and so on. And God's going to give us the clue why Israel need this severe judgment of God, 70 years in exile, to kill all the fathers there and bring the children back. By the way, the sermon today was fulfilled the prophecy today was fulfilled back with Nehemiah and Ezra bringing Israel back into the land. And they disobey again, and then God expanded his kingdom into all the nations of the world. A very dramatic, when you understand the Bible, what God is doing, it scares you to death to disobey God. Bring your attention. So I'd like to go over with you over these verses, verse by verse. And first, I want to talk about the settings, what really God is talking about. Then, the solution to the problem. And then after that, the application to ourselves. So that you can apply whatever happened to Israel to you and to me. To me, Israel is the most holy nation who has the greatest privilege of the entire universe. They have the oracles of God in their hand. No nation in this universe have the oracles of God. That's why Israel is great. All right, let's work together. First, the setting, what's happening. Now, Israel's problem was not political. They have their leaders. Judah and Israel had their leaders. Israel's problem was not economical. They deal with Syria. They deal with Lebanon. They were rich people. And as you know, Israelis are good for business as Arabs. And they were on the top market. They were good. Israel's problem was not an unarmed military condition. Israel all the time knew that the Bible requires a strong military nation in order to protect yourself from the enemy. And Israel was on the top, starting with King David all the way down. They always kept the military as a priority for safety in their land. So how in the world Israel ends by the Assyrians, and it's not because Ramil came here, but I'm not going to speak about Ramil, but I'm going to speak about the Assyrians, who were nothing. They were cruel people, but they were nothing. And how are they going to travel all the way down and take Israel out, and now only left Judah in the land? And in very few chapters, they go on and they take the city of Judah and take all the people of the land in captivity. What's going on? What's really happened here? Well, let's look on in the scripture. The guilty party, and it's a sermon for me, was the pastors of the church. Let me read it. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 to 4. Look at the guilty party. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 to 4. And the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel speaking, saying, verse 2, son of man, or human being, actually, I like that. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Wow. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fatherling, but you do not feed the flock. In other words, you shepherds of Israel, you priests of Israel, do not take care of the spiritual condition of your people. You read your word, you are in the synagogue, and you do this and do the other, but you care less about the spiritual condition of the people. Wow, that speaks serious about pastors, don't we? It's not how big is going to be our next building that really counts in my agenda. It's how much you grow in the Lord that counts in my agenda. It's not how much offering you give to the Lord. It's how much you control your family and balance and improper behavior that is in my agenda. Silently, I pray for you. Silently, I watch you. And silently, sometimes I chat with my wife to get a counsel from her if I should visit some people. Because my heart bleeds if you do not follow the Lord. And these people care less. Oh, they have their salary. Remember, 24% taxes in Israel? You complain about 9.83? 24% taxes? Sometimes 50% when you have finish all the planting and you go and have the fruit of the land. Oh, they have the money. They have no problems. But they were careless about the condition of the people. So here is the guilty party was the shepherds of Israel, the pastors. The real problem, in Spanish we have a saying, we say the fish smell by the head. When something go wrong, is check the head. And it's true. And it's true. I just got a letter this morning that broke my heart from a dear friend of mine, lives in another state, northern, in the East Coast, that their church is almost in shingles after there were 1,000 people because the pastor have the liberty of mingle around with 4 ladies in the church. And then people left. And now they have a big loan to pay and things like that. And it's in chaos. And they're asking me to give counsel to the board of elders to see how they can rebuild the church. It's just amazing. When the shepherd go down, the church go down. When the shepherd fool around, the church is gone. So sometimes silently I visit with you and I watch over. I don't say a word, but my presence, I can see, reflects certain respect to you. And you know, I will never judge anybody. We learned that. Dr. Dante did a good lesson in Spanish. We are not to judge people. But when you judge yourself, really works. When you judge yourself where you are, really works. God gives you the way. So here was the problem. Now, who were the victims? Look at verse 5 and verse 6. Who were the victims? So they were scattered. The people were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and all every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. In other words, there was not really a strong man who said, this is the truth. Now, from 7 to 9:30, there is no Jehovah's Witness in McDonald's. Because I stood over there and said, this is not the truth and should not be taught here. And I looked at the Spanish and they were scared to death of me. And they threw away the atalaya and I passed the Bible. And I have my Sergeant Leo beside me. And you know, what a lie will be if I say, well, we all believe different things. No, I have to tell the truth. I have to tell the truth. No, everything is okay. The Bible is only okay. Not something else. So here you have the setting. Israel progressed economically. Israel progressed militarily. Israel was like United States 50 years ago on the top of all nations, and suddenly it's coming down fast. Why? Because they lost their spiritual behavior. They lost their spiritual attitude. They lost what they believe. And they now believe nothing. So God is so good that he brings the solution to Israel. Look at with me now in the passage that was read. Here is the solution. Verse 11. God himself will be seeking his people. For thus says the Lord God. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. You pastors do not pastor them. You pastors do not care for them. I will care for my sheep. See, after all, you are God's people. Not my people, but God's people. And if I don't do the job, God will do it. He said, I will seek for my people. I will be there and look for them. All right? Look at in verse 12. God himself will be their pastor. Look at verse 12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on the cloudy and dark day. I don't care how far they are. If they are my sheep, I got it. One of the things that I did when I was young, before I started pastoring in a church, that I really appreciated. Morning Hill was a farming town. Orchards and shepherds on the hills. And so in our church, which is now Shadow Mountain, I was a pastor there. There was a shepherd. And I said to the shepherd, I said, you know, I need to go one day and spend a day with you to learn how to shepherd the flock. He said, one day will not do it. You have to come a week and not dress like this. No? No. So get the blue jeans and get the clothing to me. The clothing to you? Yeah, so I'll go and change over there. No, they will not accept you. So you give me the clothing to me and I throw it over there with all the sheep's sleeves and so on. Then when you're going to put that clothing in a week, you smell like them. I don't like the idea, but that's the way it is. And I put the clothes, and now we're going to take it to the fields. And they are so stupid that they go away. The dogs will bark you, raise their tail, and you know which one it is. And either you tell the dog to get it, or you go and get it. Better you go and get it. You smell like them, they will accept you. So I thought, well, what a thing, you know. I went over there, 5 o'clock in the morning. I got in the sheep hole, open everything, feed them in their mouth. Because they're so stupid. If you put the food down, they don't go like this. So you have to get the food and put it in their mouth. A lot of things I learned that we as sheep, we are what we are. And I went up the hills here. And lo and behold, one take you off here, the other take you off over there. And the dogs are called linemen. Lineman 1, lineman 2. And so he said, now lineman 1 set is out. You go and get that one, and I get the other one. So how I get it? You get it with your arms, and you lift that man, and you bring it in, because they are so stupid that they are wires, and they know how to get out, but they look to the wire. They don't know how to come in. So you go and push the wire down, and you jump on it, and you take it in your arm, and you hug her and kiss her and puck in the back, and they will go. Wow, I said, what a weird thing. I said, and here we go. And boy, at the end of the day, I was so tired, carried those things in my arm. Day in and day out for 7 days. I even smelled like a sheep. You don't have to take 2 showers to get home because Raquel don't. But you know something? It works. I remember the Friday when I went over there, they all get a guy, the one that I fed with a hand, they all came to me. And I sit down now, and I hug them, and they hug me, and we went. And when I walk, they don't want to walk ahead of me. They were all around me, and I talk to them in Spanish, and we go. And you know, he said, looks like you're having a good time with them. I said, they know you. And I thought, our church, when I left where it was Ballet Church, because there were people that I cannot manage. So I said, well, the Lord is going to give me one, and one day, 6 months later, the Lord started a church with 5 people. It was this church. A church that I can be your pastor. That you know me I know you. And that we can have a friendship like a family. And it took about 20 years to make it. But we are a family. And this is what God is saying in verse 12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, He is among his scattered sheep, so I will. And so God says, I'm not only going to look for my sheep, I'm going to be their shepherd. And then verse 13, God himself will bring the food. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will produce the food. Not what the government does. Not what the government tells you to read. I will give them my food. The sheep do not have to depend on the political arena, they will depend on the spiritual arena. Wow. Wow. It's just amazing. I just, when putting gasoline here in Safeway, and a man came in with my old Lincoln, came in with a brand new Prius electrical car and looked to me and said, well, you lose the boat, man. I said, what happened? I touch you? He said, no. He said, you lose the boat. He said, you can get that junk. A government can give you $5,000 for that junk and then you buy a car like mine. And I said, why? He said, well, he said, you know, he said, this car is a junk. He said, and the government give you money. The government? He said, you know what my father said to me about 45 years ago? He said, you go to America. But one thing I will never want to hear, that you got money without work. And so I said, how can the government give me $5,000? What I have done for the government? But man, you get the money from the government. No. You get the money from God after you work. And that's how important it is. See, God will feed you. You don't get philosophy to feed you. You don't get people's ideas to feed you. You go to God to feed your mind. So God himself will bring the food, and God himself will protect them. Look at in verse 14. Verse 15 and 16. I will feed my flock. Look at the eyes. I will make them lay down, say the Lord. Look at verse 16. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And so God will protect them. And one day, out of the blue, King Darius have idea that Ezra should come back to their land. He said, you know, we have great people here, but why don't you go back to your land? And another day, King Artaxerxes said, well, so what happened to you, Nehemiah? He said, well, my friends came in, my brother and my sister, and they told me that Jerusalem is down. Well, what do you want, Nehemiah? I got the money, and I got the armies, and I got everything you need. Why don't you go back and rebuild Jerusalem? If you're trying to plan that, you cannot make it. But God did it. And here, Ezra, by 40 years ahead, he's in the land already preaching. The first thing that was in the land, preaching and teaching the priests. And then comes Nehemiah with a building. Now he can build, because the preacher has done the work. See, the solution to your problem perhaps is not a new job, is not a new salary, is a spiritual. The solution to America, I know from my heart, is not the President Obama or President Bush or any president. The solution to America is that the pastors of America will go back to the Word of God, will stop having a show in the church and having a place where we teach the Word of God to God's people in love, with care, and spread the Word to you and to your family. That is what we need. Now, look at this. It's not in the outline, but look with me at this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at here. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 10. Look with me and verse 11 for what I'm going to do next in the lesson. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Look at what the Bible says. Now all these things happen to them as examples, And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. All the things that happened to Israel is not just historical Israel. It has a value for us believers. And the Apostle Paul, who was an Israelite and who was a Pharisee, he said, this is not just written for historical facts. These are written that you see what happened to them that could happen to you. So you become aware of. So nobody can say, well, God didn't inform me, because God already informed you that if you go out of his way, it's going to be tough for you. Now, I want to apply this. I'm going to apply what we study in Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 16, to today's situation. So here is the authenticity or the application of this. Number one is God himself will seek for people to be saved and to know God. Look with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 6 and in verse 37. God himself will seek for people, as the word of God is preached, God will seek with people to be saved. People are listening to me on the radio. People are listening to me over the internet. People are listening to me over CDs, and people are listening to me here. And I cannot say to you, I look forward for a church of 400 people. That would be pride. I look forward for a church that people know the Lord. That would be correct. Now look at verse 37. All, said Jesus, that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So when I preach the word, God the Father is in action. It moves one person here, one person in the internet, one person in the CD ministry, another person in the radio. God is in action. And Jesus said, and if you come to him by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then I will not reject you. In other words, salvation is guaranteed when you come to God in the name of God and through Jesus Christ. And so God himself is seeking his people like in the time of Ezekiel. The only thing I have to do is proclaim you the truth of God's word, and then God acts on it mysteriously behind my power. Thank God. He is acting you. Number two, God himself through Christ is the pastor. You are in John 10:6. Look at John 10:11. Who is the pastors of pastors? Here it is, John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. In the original language, there is a word, kalos, that describes good. And you will say excellent or something like that, but there is no translation. Like in Hebrew sometimes, there is no translation. You have to say it and see the action. And this word, I am the good shepherd, is closer you get to me, better it is. Ladies, you relate to this. You are shopping for a dress, and you look in the windows, and something that you saw in a window, you say, oh, I like that. And you walk inside the store, and when you see it, you say, oh, no, I don't think it, that was what I look on it. What is different with Jesus? You see Jesus in the scripture, and as you go to him and you believe in him, he's better than what you thought. That's what it is. How better is? If you, it's not in the paper, but it comes to my mind, 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter speaks to the pastors. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and I think it's verse 4, look at what kind of shepherd is Jesus. Jesus is your shepherd. Look at in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that's not fade away. He's talking to pastors. Look at verse 1, 1 Peter 5, 1. The elders, that's another word for pastors. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am also a fellow elders. Peter never say, I'm the Pope, I'm the chief. Peter said, I'm just one with you, and I want to tell you this. And then what he does in verse 4, 4, he tells you, when the chief shepherd shall appear. What a glorious. He is the Pope for us, if you allow me to use that word, so that you get a picture of who Jesus is. He is the eternal Pope. I don't have to have a day where he die and elect another one, because he's once for all, he has seat at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What a glorious church we have. What a glorious power we have here. And so Jesus, the Bible said that God himself will feed you. And then the Bible said that the God will be your pastor, and then God himself, through his word, will feed you. Have you ever seen 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17? How does God feed me? How does God, the Father, which I don't see, is feeding me today? Here it is. Look at here carefully. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good or profitable for doctrine, that means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly equipped for every good work. In other words, if you really want to be prepared for life, you study the scripture. If you really want your children to be a strong, great men and women of God in this world, you read the scripture for them at least half hour a day. They will hate it like I did. But I tell you, it stick with you when you grow up. See, we are so busy in America. We have to do this and we have to do the other. And I even told Miriam, when she was raising the children little, said, this business of they have to do this sport and they have to do this and they have to do the other, all of this is good, but cannot be taking the time of seeing Papa and Mama and reading this holy scripture together. I never forgot. My wife said, you're a grandfather. Don't mention this. But I never forgot sitting by in the laps of my grandmother. You know, Arab people, the women have those long dresses. And I like it because inside the dress were chocolates. And grandma will sit down and I can feel it. So no, now we have to get 3 chapters. Then I got the chocolate. 3 more chapters. Like this. For an hour at 4:30 in the morning. And I got the wood, put the fire, and get the heat in the house. Was bad for me? No, it was great. I hated it all the way until my grandmother died. And then I knew what she was doing. She was giving me the philosophy of God into my mind. She was giving me the food of God, applying to the sermon. She was feeding me with God's food into my mind. When I went to school, I knew God's word was God's word. I went to a Catholic school. The priest can say anything he wants to. I said, where is that in the word, please? And they like it because the others were hidden. They were in the Catholic church but had no idea. One time, we call it the preceptor. The rector of the institution called me and said, don't ask those questions. What is in the word? Because no, even the priest know. He said, but it's good, he said. See, people know it's good, but you have to come to believe it. You have to come to believe it. So here it is. If you're going to read something, read the word of God and feed yourself in the manner of God's word. So God himself will feed you through his word. At the time of Ezekiel, God feed them through the prophets. There was no written word except the 5 books of Moses. And so through the prophets. There were prophets who revealed the will of God. Now God himself, through Christ, is our protection. Look at here how marvelous. In John chapter 10, it is a wonderful self-security from God. Look at how beautiful. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. There are some people call themselves Christians who fellowship and who say, well, if you don't behave good, you lose your salvation, you lose your position from God. Now, they don't know who saved them then. But look at here, John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, You know what perish is? You know, gone away, perish. Neither shall anyone stretch them out of my hand. Now look at verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father's are one. One time I wrote to that insurance. They had the two hands on it. What do I call it? Farmer is or something? What is the slogan? You are saved in our hand. I said, well, I said, you're almost like God. I said, I'm saved by Jesus and protected by the Father. I never got an answer for that. I said, I took two hands like this, a picture, and I said, I'm so glad that you are using a Bible example to tell me I'm insured with you, but I'm insured with God better than you. And they don't say anything, but they thought I was a nut. But, you know, it's true. Come on. You know, when God saves you, he saves you. He's not playing around with you. When God touch your life and touch your spirit and brought you into the kingdom of God, he is not going to leave you at the mercy of Satan. No, he's going to protect you and hold you. Doesn't matter what happened to you, you're still in Christ's hand and in God's hand. One time they asked me this question on radio. When Jesus died at the cross, did he die for good? And we have to say yes. Then who protects the people who believe in God? Well, right here in John 10, what they said, my Father's hand. That's why comes the question. They were in Jesus' hand. He died. He paid for our sins. But the main time, those believers of the Old Testament were in the Father's hand. So never was left to the power of Satan. So let's see if we can recall the lesson today. The title of the lesson is, Has God Found You? Very interesting. Has God found you? Well, let me go through the lesson simply, and then let me tell you what I mean. In Ezekiel times, the people of God live luxuriously and powerfully. But their pastors forgot to tell them, love God with all your heart and mind and soul. And so God brought discipline to them through judgment, and they end up in Babylon, in Assyria, for 70 years. Was God defeated? Not. God found no man worthy of preaching, and so God had two prophets that he revealed what he's going to do, and he became their pastor, and he became the one who seek for them. He became the one who provides for them. He became the one who protects them. By the mercy of God, Ezra and Nehemiah came through, and 187 years before Christ, again, Jerusalem blossomed in spite of the Arab domination and hostility. Nobody can stand Nehemiah. I wrote an article on engineering about the walls of Jerusalem. Nobody can build those walls in 52 days without machines and without power, but they did it. Day and night without light in the night. Today, where Israel is gone because they disobeyed God. Remember what the Bible says? Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the children of God. Today, the gospel, because of Israel's disobedience, expanded through all the nations of the world, as we learned today in the parable. All right? The gospel goes everywhere. There is no distinction. There is no nation that can be distinguished from another nation. There is no a particular nation per se, like was in Israel, that God chose. Now, his chosen people are all over the world. The people that he saved are all over the entire world, whatever race you have, whatever color of skin, and doesn't matter. God has the power to save you. So I think I have a question myself. And here's the question. If my title is, Has God Found You? My question is, how do I know? See, he's not in person to tell me I found you. So how do I know? The answer, right there in the bulletin in John chapter 10 and verse 4. You can look in the Bible, you can look in the outline. John chapter 10 and verse 4. How do I know God found me? Look at John 10:4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, different than the shepherd in America. The shepherd in America goes on the back. The shepherd of Israel has trained the sheep so good, he goes on the front, he never lose one. He goes singing. And the guy, the shepherd that got me here, he said, if you want to, you speak Hebrew, go ahead and sing. As if I sing, all the sheep go away. But he said, go ahead and sing, and they will follow you. A certain group, he said, I cannot go with you. You go with your group, and I go with my group. They will learn my voice, and they will learn your voice. They will learn the tone of your voice when you are upset or when you are happy. And they will learn mine. And so he said, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, the sheep, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. I have about 25, 30 sheep. I put all Spanish name to them. And as I called them by their name, they came in. They knew my voice. Listen. How do I know I'm a child of God? Well, it depends on here. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you respond to the voice of God? See, if you read the Bible, you and I will get convicted of things. That's good. That means you're a child of God. So, husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. And so you never complain about your wife, because God said you can't complain. You have to love it with sacrifice. And some of the sacrifice is to put up. Amazing, no? As a wife, respect your husband as the one who is the leader, as the one who leads your life, as the one who protects you. And that's the way God designed it. Doesn't mean man as a male is different. Means that God wants men to be responsible for their home. So your wife support him so that he can be a responsible man and leading you and the children. No, great? That's in the Bible. Children, said the Bible, obey your parents. I taught in public school, and I taught in private school. And they asked me this question. For how long do I have to obey my parents? You know that? And do I have to obey my parents when they are right or when they are wrong? No, you don't have to judge your parents. We learned it today in Sunday school. You don't have to judge your parents. You just obey your parents. When you go to the army, you don't say to the sergeant, well, I don't know if that's the right opinion, the right decision or not. You just do what he says. Said, people of God, bring your tithe into the storehouse. I thank God that in my Christian experience, I never withdraw the tithe from the storehouse. And even in tough times, God has supplied my life in a marvelous way. I had to work with them. I got two or three people from the court to help. And the two or three people cannot get help. Because I said, if you come to my property, I give you $10 an hour. But I'm going to give you a shovel and everything and clean this. I'm going to give you a sponge and something and clean this and do the other. And they said, no, I thought that you're going to give us something. Yeah, I'm going to pay you better than gave you something. If I gave you something, you owe this to me. But if you work, you don't owe anymore. When you work 8 hours, you go home with $80. And I tell the judge, and then you pay your dues. No, this is not a work of God. I have pain in the back. I need disability. And they get disability. $2,000-$3,000 a month. I tell you. See, the Bible said, if you do not work, you do not eat. I'm trying as a shepherd to feed them. And God's people will respond. So my question to you this morning is very simple. Has God found you? Depends. If you obey the word of God, then God found you. If you disobey the word of God and do what you want, then you need to turn to God and believe in Him. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of a wonderful and a remarkable exhortation today. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit work in us and make us to obey your word. I pray that you bless us as we walk with you, and as you discipline us, and as you love us, and as you guide us. I pray for myself that I will never neglect to share your word with your people, that I will never stop to counsel them and to tell them what you said. Oh, bless me, Father, with endurance. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. And before the benediction, I really want to touch your life and see if you can judge yourself. Do you feel safe in God's hand, or you have not yet trust in God? Is anyone here who said, Pastor, I knew about it, but today I'm really going to turn myself to Him, and I understand it. I want Jesus to save me. Is anyone here? Will you come here and I shake your hand, and we're all going to rejoice. Is anyone here? They want to say, Lord, I knew about it. I have a background on this, but I never saw the completeness of God in Christ Jesus. I never saw the impact of Christ, and now I turn to His Word, and now the Holy Spirit has moved me, and I never have confessed Him before man. I want to confess it today. I want to say, Lord, I believe. Is anyone here? I don't want to close without cutting you off and giving you the opportunity to say, Lord, I believe in You. All right? Anybody? Lord, like Israel, we came back to Your people with a reminder of how far we have gone without You. We pray first and most for pastors around America, that they will turn to the simplicity of the teaching of God's Word. That their churches should not be a theater with a tremendous performance, but should be a praise to Your name and a teaching of Your food. Lord, I know that there are hundreds of pastors in America. You hold 7,000 in Israel at one time. And so there has to be more here in America. But Father, bring Your people back to You through Your pastors. And then, Lord, for our life, I pray that we may turn back to You and do what You tell us to do, so that we can receive the blessings from above. Thank You for the encouragement that You look for Your people. You feed Your people. You protect Your people. Protect our brothers and sisters in whatever trials they are, that the trial may bring back the memories of the joy of the Lord, and in turn, they will turn to You for good. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for the security that You never turn us down. In Jesus, we thank You. Amen.